Well, good morning, everybody. Did you all stay up for the game last night?
Yeah.
Now, Bob Hooker isn't here. He's down in Florida, so he gets back. But yeah, that was halftime. I was a little worried, but you know, that's the way Wildcats always do that. And of course, today is the sanctified day for the Seahawks. And we're, I guess you are fans. Just let you know a few things going on here at church. Right after worship service today, if you got a squirrely kid that is needing to get some energy out, we have open gym time for the kids. So bring your kids down there and let them run and get all of that energy out. And we got some pizza.
Lunch first.
Got some pizza. In Heron Hall first, and then you can let them, and it'll be good. Also, What Methodists Believe, our second session will be this Wednesday, and that's at 6 o'clock. If you weren't able to get to that one because you were a little worried about the ice and the snow, completely understand that. Parker and I did do a studio recording of the lectures for that first night, and we'll do that every week for you as well, but you can catch up whenever those are posted onto the church website. And finally, tomorrow night is the United Methodist Men's Valentine's Dinner. You need to RSVP to Dennis for that. But if you don't want to go to the dinner, but you do want to hear a really good concert, Elijah, there you are, buddy. You're going to be singing with Jackson, your friend Jackson, and that's going to be great. So I want to welcome you all to that. So I want to invite you to stand now, greet your neighbor, share the peace of Christ with them. Let's join together in prayer. Jesus, we adore you, and we know that your Spirit is here in this place. And we hear it, the joyful sounds of your Spirit moving in us. Lord, now we direct all of our worship to you, our adoration to you. Settle into our hearts. Lift our faces up into heaven as we worship and praise you. Lord, may our praise be received and bless you this morning. We pray this in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Come, let us walk in the light of Jesus. Please stand as you are able for our call to worship. We are called to bring a new understanding of God, that God so loves the world. We are called to bring a new hope in God, that God gives us new life. We are called to follow the commandments and the law.
The law of God is to love God and to love one another.
Come, let us be the salt of the earth, the light of the world.
Come, let us love one another with the love of God.
Let us join together in our love of God to worship and follow Jesus. Amen. God delights in our singing in James's playing and in each of us. Let us continue to worship knowing that. Our Psalter lesson is complementary to the gospel lesson, so pay attention to the light imagery. Praise the Lord. Blessed are those who fear the Lord, who greatly delight in God's commandments. Wealth and riches are in their house, and their righteousness endures forever.
They rise in the darkness as the light for the upright. They are gracious, merciful, and righteous.
It is well with those who deal generously and lend, who conduct their affairs with justice.
For the righteous shall never be moved. They will be
They are not afraid of evil tidings. Their hearts are firm, trusting in the Lord.
When they see their adversaries, their hearts are steady. They will not be afraid.
They have distributed freely. They have given to the poor.
Their righteousness endures forever. Their horn is exalted in honor.
As it was in the beginning, is now,
You may be seated, and as you are seated, our children are invited to come forward for a message with Miss Hannah.
Good morning. Come on down. All right, I have two very important questions to ask you all. And it's not, are you ready to go back to school? I'm not sure I want to know the answer to that. All right, have you all ever been in the dark where you couldn't see anything? How did that make you feel?
Scared.
Extra scared. Extra scared? Super scared? Amazed?
Freaked out.
Okay, yeah, we don't like to be in the dark or we can't see anything. Okay, another somewhat unrelated question. Have you ever had food before that doesn't have much flavor at all? Yeah? Don't tell me who cooked it, okay? Do you like it when you get food that doesn't have a lot of flavor?
No.
Or would you rather that your food have flavor?
Flavor.
Okay. Well, we're going to talk about a couple of things today. I brought some pretzels with me. These are pretzel sticks, and they are salted. Okay. I will pass them around. Everybody can take a couple of them if you would like. Would you like one? And I want you to tell me what type of flavor you get from these pretzels. Are they sweet? What do you think? Are they sweet or are they salty? They're not sweet. This isn't going well. They're salty, right? What's on the outside of them?
Salt.
They're salt. Do you think that they would taste better if there was no salt on them?
Yep.
You do?
Yeah.
You know, you guys are just trying to give me a hard time here. No, they are salty. I'm going to tie this into the Bible, I promise, okay? So in the Bible, Jesus says that we are like salt, okay? Salt usually makes food taste better. Now, you may not understand that because you probably always have food that has some salt in it. But if your food had no salt in it, it wouldn't have much flavor at all. Salt makes everything taste better. So just like salt makes food taste better, Jesus tells us that we can make the world better when we follow him. When we're kind, when we're loving, when we're fair, we can help others. We can tell others about God's truth, and it's like we're adding flavor to the world, kind of like salt adds flavor to food. So the Bible tells us we're supposed to be salty. It tells us we're supposed to be two things, okay? In the book of Matthew, it says we're supposed to be salt and light. So we just talked about how we're supposed to be salty. Now I brought a light, okay? Any of you have a flashlight like this at home?
Yeah.
What does a flashlight help you to do?
See
in the dark. So let's pretend that you are in your dark house and the lights are out and you get out your flashlight, but then you take a cup or a basket and you stick it in here like this. Is the light going to help you?
No.
No. Why would we cover up a light, right? We need the light out to shine bright. Well, in this same Bible passage in the book of Matthew, it says to let your light shine. It says, a city on a hill cannot be hidden. All of those lights on top of the hill, you can't just throw a blanket over it, right? They're going to shine bright. And God wants us to not hide our light, but he wants us to shine brightly, which means not just shining an actual light, but it means showing love, showing kindness to other people, justice, following God's way. That's what helps us to shine our light. And if we are salt and light in the world, other people will look at us and say, wow, they are different. I wonder why they are different. And you know what? That's your chance to say, I'm different because I have Jesus in my heart and I believe in him and I want to follow him every day. So let's try and be salt and light in the world, okay? Let's say a prayer. Father God, I pray that you would help all of us to be salt and light in the world, that we would shine brightly wherever we go. God, we love you and we trust you and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's go back to kids' worship.
There is a great story in our Old Testament from the book of Exodus where after Moses receives the Ten Commandments, he comes down from the mountain and his face shining with the glory of the Lord. And what do the people do? They say, Moses, that bright light is annoying. You should put a veil over your face. And so he does. But Paul in 2 Corinthians tells us that after we have encountered Jesus, we should, with unveiled faces, reflect God's light into the world. It can be so easy to want to veil that light, to be inconspicuous and unconfrontational. But our prayer of confession reminds us that we have encountered the God of light and should reflect that into the world. Let us pray together. God of light, we confess that we have gone astray and have left your light. We follow the dim lights of the world of success and fortune. We follow the dim lights that call us to be more religious by following rules. We follow the fading light of personal salvation. Forgive us for not seeking the true light of your love for all the world. Forgive us for not following the ways of Jesus, who commanded us to love one another. Call us to be light bearers of love, compassion, and justice, in which the mystery of your love is revealed. In the name of Jesus, the Messiah, we pray. Amen. Hear the good news. You are loved. Know that in God's love there is forgiveness, healing, and reconciliation. Glory to God. Amen.
The Lord be with you. Almighty God, we come to you to say thank you. You have been there in our dark times. You have been there in our light times. You have brought us through so much. You have always been there, giving us your love, your care, your strength. And we give you thanks for all that you are and have been to us. The past couple of weeks have been difficult for so many in our country. We give you thanks for those who work around the clock to keep our lives going. We thank you for those who have meant so much to us during this time. And we thank you for being a part of our lives during this time. We needed you. You were there, and we are grateful. We lift up the members of this church, O God. Speak to them this day. Help them to hear that still, small voice speaking into their minds and hearts. Put your arm around their shoulder. Help them to know that you are beside them, with them. You will walk with them and lead them and guide them in the way that you want them to go, which is ultimately the way we all want to go too. There are those grieving this weekend who have lost loved ones. We pray that you would bless and keep them as well. Help them to know that their loved ones are with you and they are fine. We pray for the sick, asking that you would grant them healing in every way, in every case. We pray this. We lift up to you our nation, our world. Sometimes it seems as though your love, your light is not getting through. We know it's there, and if we can be sharers of that light, help us to do so, Lord. Make us the people that you want to be. We lift up to you those who have seen so much destruction in their country, both human and physical. Lord, be with them and help us not to give up. Help us to know that you lead, you care, you want the best for them and for us. And we know that you call upon us to be a part of the healing that must take place. And we pray, oh Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to do the consoling, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, and it is dying that we are born to eternal life. And we pray the prayer which Christ taught all of us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We will now receive our morning tithes and offerings.
Salt of the earth.
You are the salt of the earth.
You are the salt of the earth.
You are the salt of the earth.
Salt to save.
Jesus, as you pour your light into us and as the salt of your gospel enters into our life, we know that you have blessed us, and we pray that you will bless us in ways that we might be a blessing to others. We also pray that you will bless these tithes and offerings so that it might be, and we might be, this church might be a blessing to the world around us. We pray this in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated.
Our scripture lesson for today is taken from Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 20. You are the salt of the earth, but what good is salt if it has lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your Heavenly Father. Don't misunderstand why I have come. I did not come to abolish the law of Moses or the writings of the prophets. No, I came to accomplish their purpose. I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not even the smallest detail of God's law will disappear until its purpose is achieved. So if you ignore the least commandment and teach others to do the same, you will be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But anyone who obeys God's laws and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. But I warn you, unless your righteousness is better than the righteousness of the teachers of religious law and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Well, brothers and sisters, you know, there are times when you just can't help yourself. And this week, I just couldn't help myself. I was reading these passages with Parker, and back in the back of my mind, I was reminded of a great movie and a book from the 80s, The Princess Bride. And Vicini, you know, he's known for one word, right? Inconceivable. And you know, I love the look on his face there. It's like, what? Inconceivable. You know, and that's a lot of what's going on here. If salt becomes tasteless, it no longer has power to season. Well, how can salt not be salt anymore? It's inconceivable. What does that even mean? What does that even mean? You know, I have had some run-ins with salt. Now, salt's pretty important. You know, it takes a certain amount of salt to make your body work. Too much and you're going to go to the doctor. Too little and you're going to go to the doctor. There's some balance there. But it is a rather powerful substance. And I had a run-in with salt, I don't know, quite a few years ago. I think it was my first time I went to Israel, as a matter of fact. My mind's a little fuzzy on that. But we went swimming in the Dead Sea as one of our kind of days out. And we pulled up in this great big touring bus, you know, and we were all excited and ready because we'd heard all of the stuff, you know, that you can do. So we all run out there and we get ready to go. And there's all of these signs in red that says, don't get the water in your eyes. And so, you know, I took that earnestly. I said, yep, okay, I'll do that. So I get out there and, you know, it is really the coolest thing. That water really doesn't feel like water at all. It's kind of got this slick feeling to it. But you can just sit up there and kind of ball up and you just bob like... Just boom, okay, whatever, you know, and you're having the best time. And I was having the best time until one of the guys in our party, who's another preacher, as a matter of fact, they're the worst, I'm telling you. And he got the bright idea that, you know, I'm just going to have a little fun with everybody. And so he would come behind people and kind of like this with the water and get it on us. And he came up to me and he did that and it just got full face, right in my face. And let me tell you, I don't think I've ever felt my eyes burn like that in my whole life. I mean, it was awful. And he was laughing at me and I was like, again, preachers are the worst. So I was like, get away from me, you know, dude. And so in an attempt to flee this crazy dude, I go back up onto the shore there, and I sit down, and I'm trying to, like, figure out what to do. And I sit there for a while. I dry off, and I start to put my clothes back on. I was like, I don't want to even go back out there anymore. It's been ruined for me, you know? And that's where I forgot to read the other sign. And the other sign said, as you get out of the Dead Sea, you want to go and rinse off. Yeah, right. So here I am on the hour and a half bus ride back up into Jerusalem where our hotel was, and I was on fire. I mean, whoo! I got back into the hotel room, and my skin was about as red as your sweater there. I mean, it was... So I promptly got a shower and got all of that off. But I learned a lesson about the power of salt. And so the question is to me, which is so inconceivable, is how can something as powerful like that lose its power? It's a little bit like saying fire isn't hot. Or water isn't wet. I mean, what are you arguing about there? We're not going to debate that, right? Fire's pretty darn hot. Salt's pretty darn salty. Logically, it just isn't. It's not possible. Now, for the disciples, I don't know if they got this entirely either. But here we are. We have the benefit of, you know, a couple thousand years of church history and teaching on this, and it's wonderful because we know as we read this that Jesus wasn't making some claim about salt necessarily, some ridiculous claim. Instead, he was making a claim about his disciples, a claim about their identity as people. What he's saying is, this is who you are. This is who you are. Disciples, my disciples, they're naturally salty. Naturally salty in the world. So what does salt do? Well, probably does a lot of things, really. The two things that kind of came to my mind, though, is it flavors food and it preserves food. And, you know, salt is one of those things where in the cooking class that I've taken before, they say, you want to put salt and pepper in everything. I mean, just everything, because it brings out the flavor in the food and it makes it taste really good. And I think about that, and I think about how salt can really transform food in really, really wonderful ways. There are two, I'm not that big of a salt guy, but there are two foods that, boy, oh boy, I got to have salt on. One is eggs. I just, if it doesn't have salt on it, forget it. And the other is potatoes. French fries, McDonald's French fries, if it doesn't have some salt on it, Elijah, it's just no good. It's no good. I'm just telling you. Jesus is saying, disciples, your presence in the world, your very presence, you walking around, you smiling, you singing, you saying things to people, it is like salt because you bring out the best in other people as you go through your life. When you're around people, the saltiness of your life, well, it draws out joy and peace and kindness and mercy and patience, except for that preacher dude. I wanted to slug him. Not really. But it does. It draws out those sorts of things. I think a little bit about some of the times when we have expressed as Christians our saltiness to others in very innocuous ways, maybe. You know, I kind of make a point, and I get a chance to do this because Elise has her Happy Meal every Sunday evening. It's like our standing tradition. And I always make a point when I go through the McDonald's up here that I always say, sir or ma'am, and I thank them, and I honor them for what they're doing. And a lot of times, you know, they're just kind of in a bad mood because this is not the job that they want to be in, and it's stressful. And, you know, they kind of hand your hamburger to you in your bag and like, here, get out of my way. And they're used to people like hollering and yelling at them, and you got my order wrong, and you're the worst person in the world. But to just say, thank you. I really appreciate you taking care of my child and me tonight. You made a difference. You're sprinkling a little bit of salt in their life. And it's always amazing. And you've done this before. You know what happens. They kind of are taken back, or they smile, or it's like, wow, thanks for seeing me. Now, Christians, historically, when we look at the church, of course, we undersalt things and sometimes we oversalt things. Again, there's some balance to it all. We can underseason when, as Christians in years past, have retreated away from society, and for whatever reason, they felt it was best for them to go and conclave in caves or behind the walls of abbeys. Of course, there's the other opposite of that extreme, too, and we can oversalt, and we can try and dominate the world with power. But neither of those things are Jesus' ways of salting. Now, salt really makes that food taste good, but it also preserves a lot. And, you know, one of the things that I like to think about is a lot of us like those country hams in Kentucky. Not me. I just can't get a flavor or a taste for it. But my dad loved a country ham. But salt preserves. And when I think about us as Christians and the way that we are preservative in the world, I think of it this way. Each one of you all, and me, all of us together, all of the church around the world, we combat the decay of the world with the salt of our presence. Just being there arrests the decay that can be around us because of the light that you bring, the joy that you bring to so many different things that are in the world. Even as Dennis, you prayed about all of these things that we worry about and are deeply troubling to many of us. We are salt, preserving the decay. Now, here's the thing. Preservation often goes unnoticed and unthanked, doesn't it? I bet some of you all have picked up on that, huh? Yeah. Disciples often don't get credit for preventing decay. Now, they get blamed when there's still decay existing in the world. And it's like, well, you all Christians, you've not done anything good for the world. But they forget about the decay that has been prevented because of the lives that we live. Some of the holiest work, I believe, is unseen because it keeps things from getting worse. Now, let me talk about that for just a moment. Some of the people in our lives that really we don't see all that much because they come at 5:30 in the morning is the folks that come around and pick up our recycling and our trash. And can you imagine what it would be like if we had to hold on to our trash for a month or so and figure out a way to dispose of it ourselves? You talk about a stench. Wow. But they keep that away from us, and they preserve it. I think about teachers, and I think about the way that they teach children, especially when they're young, younger than third grade, how to read, and how that's sprinkling salt of it preserves their life, because if they know how to read by age or by grade three, my understanding is that this, the statistics are is that it actually has an incredible effect on their life, because it can keep them from getting incarcerated. Think about that preservation that often is never noted or thanked. There's so many people that do those sorts of things unseen, unthanked, but they have power. So much of the power that God has in the world is unseen. Now, light, of course, as Jesus talks about, he talks about us being light in the world as well. But, you know, it's interesting. The little bit of a scientist that's in me, I geeked out totally, and forgive me, I even got a thing from NASA to show you guys about the electromagnetic spectrum. And the electromagnetic spectrum, it's enormous. I mean, it's really, really huge. And scientists, they call all of that their light, whether it's radio waves and microwaves and infrared and the visible light that we see from the sun or from these light bulbs and all of that, ultraviolet light that burns our skin when we're outside, x-rays and gamma rays, all of that, scientists call that all light. But here's the crazy thing. I found this on NASA. I'll cite my source. That only 35/10,000ths of the spectrum, that's a pretty small slice, is visible light. Think about that. The rest of it we can't see. And yet some of that stuff is the most powerful light in the universe. Everything that we see, the beautiful sunrises and the sunsets, the rainbows that make our children shout with glee while it's ending the rain, the colors that are around us, even the faces that we love to look at. our children, grandchildren, is illumined by this small sliver of reality. And think about the rest of that powerful light that is out there that you don't even see. Radio waves and microwaves are just going through you right now at the speed of light. You may not realize it, but it is. You all have got your cell phones on you, right? They're emitting microwaves. Now, we're a little bit protected by the copper roof, but still, think about it. All of that power is there. It's there. But we also know that sometimes what we can't see is powerful too. Chernobyl and Three Mile Island, they taught us all about that. X-rays are pretty powerful. They give us the ability to see things that we normally wouldn't be able to see. And I think about God's unseen power in you, because you are the light of the world. And how much of what you do, empowered by Jesus, is never seen, and yet is like this city on a hilltop that can never be covered because of the light of Christ streaming out of you. Light is amazing. It cleanses things. And a light cleanses our world and even us as human beings from sin and death, all of the things that are underneath of the surface. Salt quietly works. Light works visibly and invisibly. Both are acts of God's love, illuminating sin for healing and preserving life. I was recently introduced to an Anglican priest by the name of Malcolm Guyte. Parker and I went to the Lewis House this week on UK's campus to hear him talk. He's from England, and quite an interesting person. I would call him a hobbit, like a real-day modern hobbit from The Lord of the Rings. He looks like one, actually. He's got long hair and a beard, and he's got a waistcoat and all of this stuff, and it's really cool. But I was reading in this book of his, and I was thinking about the decay of the world that I was talking about and how salt preserves it. We are a preservative in the world. And I just would like to share this with you. This is so profound. Malcolm says, regarding decay and death, he says, on the face of it, there are these sets of absurdities and flat contradictions of the human experience. Now listen to what he says. We do not experience poverty, mourning, and persecution as blessings, do we? I don't like it myself perfectly. He goes on to say, on the face of it, the meek are precisely the people who do not inherit the earth, because the arrogant already They always have, as always. They thrust the meek aside. He goes on, in ordinary human experience, those who dare to act as peacemakers in the midst of a conflict, far from being blessed, are cursed and deprecated equally by both sides for daring to suggest a new way of seeing things, prizing people away from the comfort of their familiar hatreds. This is the most beautiful part, though. Listen to this. And yet, in spite of the way they contradict our experience as human beings, our hearts leap every time we hear Christ's words. Something in us stirs. Some long-suppressed hope revives, and we know that Jesus is right. What if it could be true that you, as salt and light, could speak to somebody or shine the light of Christ into their life, so much so that if they are the meek or the peacemakers or the poor, and this world has trampled them down, if you could give them just a taste, that their heart might leap out of their chest because something in them stirs, because they know they have this suppressed hope every time they hear Jesus' words for them. Brothers and sisters, this is who we are. This is who we are. This is our identity as salt and light of the earth. And people desperately need Jesus to shine that light through you into their lives. More than ever before in my life, a short 50 years, now is the time for this. This is your identity. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I want to invite you to stand and to sing our closing song together. This is a really good song written by Charles Wesley. Great words to it, powerful words. Let's stand and sing them together and take them to heart. Love that last verse. I wonder if we could put it back up for just a moment for us to look, because that's the blessing I want to send you out with. May the refining fire of our Lord and Savior Jesus and the power of Spirit work deeply within you so that it might scatter through every part of your life, every part of your body, and sanctify you for the purpose of shining the light of Jesus through you, sprinkling the salt of Jesus in the world through you, just because of who you are. Brothers and sisters, go in peace, knowing fuller now your identity as a disciple of Jesus, empowered by his Spirit. I pray this in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.